Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the six basic steps to manifesting anything that you want in your life whenever you want it. It is basic, but it is functional. Like, it will give you everything that you need to be able to do this. It does not require a deep dive into anything if you do these six steps, although further instruction is always a good thing. So let me start off with something that is a basic truth, but like literally, if you write this down, or you can actually get the book Working with the Law by Raymond Halliwell, because this first thing I'm going to take out of this book, it's one of the most powerful things that I've ever read when it comes to awareness, really waking up to what our potential is and what we can do. I cannot tell you how passionate I am about this paragraph that I'm going to read to you, and then we're going to go into the steps. He says, "True desire represents the urge of life, seeking a fuller expression, and is kept alive by the continuous expectation of its fulfillment. It brings to us the ways and means for its manifestations. The principle explains, no desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear. No mind can be conscious of a need or a desire unless the possibility of its fulfillment already exists." Now, what does this mean? I'm going to break this down, because it's when you understand this, it can change everything in your life. First, let's talk about the power of understanding. So I'm going to give you something that the great Genevieve Behrend wrote in her book, Your Invisible Power. She says, "When your understanding grasps the power to visualize your heart's desire and hold it with your will, it attracts to you all things requisite for the fulfillment of that picture by the harmonious vibration of the law of attraction. You realize that since order is heaven's first law and visualization places things in their natural order, then it must be a heavenly thing to visualize." So where does this start? It's starting with the recognition and the acknowledgement of our heart's desire. I believe our heart's desire is likened to the instinct of an animal. It is likened to internal guidance. It is our spiritual DNA. Now, if you're not a spiritual person, that's fine. You don't have to use that word. It use instinct, okay? It's human instinct. It is the thing that's inside of us that is causing us to be pulled toward the thing that we want to be, do, and have in our life, desire, okay? There was an, I don't remember where this came from. Somebody asked me about this the other day, a matter of fact, because I can't find it in current etymology on the word. But at one point I was taught that the desire means of the Father. I have found where it says of the stars, meaning like the celestial stars. But there is something in Old Latin somewhere where desire, there's an interpretation, means of the Father. So when we think of desire, think of it from the aspect of this is of the higher self. Your desire, not fleeting wants and wishes, but the true desire of your heart is from the higher self. It is your higher self communicating to your consciousness that which you want to be, do, and have to lead you on the path for everything that you could possibly want in your life. Now, let's go back to what Genevieve said. She said, when your understanding, what's our understanding? Our understanding is the use of our intellectual factors to really use our sense of reason to be able to conceptualize what our desire could actually be. I did a podcast on the idea of making success real in your life, and I believe that we use our understanding to help make this real in our life so that it can be something that is tangible in quality. We literally believe we can go after it. We can do it. We can be it. We can have it. We can manifest anything that we see in our mind in our life. Very important. So What is that? That's understanding. Understanding of this concept raises our awareness that the higher side of ourself is constantly seeking fuller expression with and through who we are as a person to manifest in our life as our life, but also as the thing that we're really brought here to do, which like for humanity, this gives great hope. People, every person has a specific purpose, I believe, a thing that they're uniquely gifted to be able to do. It doesn't mean that they have it in full form, right? Just like a person who's a master musician or something, they don't have that in full form once they first have the fingers touch the piano or play the guitar or the violin. It takes work to really unify that within the individual. But the seeds of that are there for every single individual. And we start to recognize those seeds by desire. Now, this is where Halliwell came in and was giving us, the way that he wrote this really helps us get to the understanding that when we feel the desire, the thing that we desire not only is already here in our life, but it is ready to come into our awareness. He says, true desire, not mere hope or wish, but true desire represents the urge of life, seeking a fuller expression, and is kept alive by the continuous expectation of its fulfillment. Now, it gives us some real clues here that are very important. True desire, the thing that you constantly think about, that you want to be, do, or have. And for many people, they don't even tell anybody about it. I say people often have this true desire. They keep it in their secret thoughts because they don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be laughed at. They don't want to have peer pressure or the idea of, you know, some organized something or other telling them that they can't be, do, or have whatever that desire is. It takes a bit of courage to bring that out and to be transparent or vulnerable with it, right? So true desire represents the urge of life seeking fuller expression, meaning that life is constantly, we are life, right? We are an expression of life, but life's constantly moving to and through us as an expression of itself within the world that we live in. We see this with all of life, not just human beings. It's with grass. It's with wheat. It's a flower. It's a dandelion. It's a rose. It's also an animal. It's a bird. It's a pigeon. It's a rabbit. It's a fox. It's a hound. It's the fish in the sea. It's the birds in the air. It is the microbe. It's every single thing is a representation of this amazing intelligence that we know of as life, constantly seeking fuller expression with and through a physical thing, right? But the intelligence is here before the physical thing. I have a bottle here, and this bottle had to be an image in somebody's mind before they could actually create the bottle. It had to be an idea, a concept, a realization, and then they moved it into a physical thing. Of course, everything that we see that is created by human beings first had to be an image or an idea on the screen of a person's mind. But what is the reason that we don't desire everything? We only desire certain things. Like I may desire something that's completely different than what you desire, and you don't even think about what I desire. Like it's never even dawned on you. I tell people, I don't ever desire to be a brain surgeon. I've never desired to be a brain surgeon. But somebody is, somebody has, somebody did. What's the difference? Well, it's not my purpose to be a brain surgeon. It's somebody else's purpose to be a brain surgeon. They're in tune or in harmony with that infinite intelligence, and they feel it as a desire. They're in harmony with it, and they're downloading that basically from the universe. How do we know? Like, how do we know that this is real? He says this, no desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear. No desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear. What does that mean? It means that the desire itself is speaking to us. It's telling us something very important. It's saying something wants to be created, conceived, and birthed through us. That's what it's telling us. And of course, when we recognize it, we're often in a battle of our mind, whether it's something that we want to be, do, or have, or if there's a voice in our head that says that we can't, because so many people are raised with the idea that they can't be the thing that they want to be. And then, of course, society, life, people will bring in all the evidence that that's real, when the only evidence that they have that they can is the initial desire that they actually feel. Even if you look at somebody else who's done something, that's not evidence that you can do it. It's evidence that it can be done, but it's not evidence that you can do it. The evidence that we can do it is the desire to do it. We would never desire something that we can't do. And that's where he goes on and he says, no mind can be conscious of a need or a desire until the possibility of its fulfillment exists. Unless the possibility of its fulfillment exists. No mind can be conscious of it. So once I become conscious that I have this desire, the possibility of that to manifest in my life is readily available. It's here. It's here right now. It's very, very close to me. How do I do it? How do I manifest it? That's where we're going to get into the six steps. How do I bring in this thing that I desire so that I can actually be this in my life? Okay. The first step is to formulate our desire to see it clearly in our mind. Now, here's a word of caution with these six steps. It's possible that the image that we create in our mind that's based on the desire that we feel is off. Like there's something wrong with the image. Now, why is this important to know? Because it requires a certain amount of stick-to-itiveness, persistence, to be able to manifest this in our life. Also knowing that all we ever really do in our life is manifest. Our life is a product of the manifestation that we're creating within ourselves, whether that's pre-programmed from our childhood or it's something new that we choose to re-educate ourselves with, invigorate ourselves with, be enthusiastic with, and create something entirely different that we've never created before. However, if you think about Thomas Edison, when he created the light bulb, when he invented the light bulb, you have to understand something very important. There was no light bulbs before he invented it. There were none. We had gas lamps, we had candles, we had that kind of thing, right? So he had to build an image in his mind of what this incandescent light actually looked like. And the story goes that it took 10,000 tries before he actually got the thing right. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true that it took 10,000, but let's say it took 100. Let's say it took 10, okay? The problem is this. The image that he had in his mind about how to create it was off. Something was off about it. Now, why would that be? Well, because there's a lot of unknown there. Like, there's a tremendous amount of unknown. Nobody had ever created a light bulb before. It was totally unknown. So he had to think scientifically about how could this possibly work, and then he had to test it to see if it would. The key here is that he never gave up. He just altered the image slightly to bring it into a better focus to be able to create what he wanted. So that's the caution. The caution is that the first time you try this, if it doesn't work, don't give up. Ask yourself, is the image correct? Without changing the desire. We don't change the desire, okay? We just might change the image a little bit. We bring it into more focus, a little bit more clarity. Now, I'm going to bounce back and forth here quite a bit, probably. And it's important because it brings in different levels of understanding. So back to Genevieve Behrend. What did she say? When your understanding grasps the power to visualize your heart's desire and holds it with your will. When your understanding, we keep coming back to this word, understanding, understanding, understanding. Understanding is that if I have the desire, I can manifest it in my life. I just may need to change the way that I actually see it. Now, number two, the second step is to impress it with deep feeling upon the subconscious mind, to see ourselves accomplishing that thing. So when we do this, there's an important point about this that many people actually get wrong. If I tell you visualize yourself already successful in the thing that you want to be, do, or have, very often a person will see themselves as if they were observing themselves being successful. If you wanted a house, and I said visualize yourself with the house, if you're standing on the street visualizing yourself with the house, it's disconnected from you. The idea is that you visualize the success that you want, whatever you want to manifest, in the first person, as if you're in it, observing outward. That's the whole key to this visualization. Now, once you build this image in your mind, we're talking about impressing it on the subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind is what then continually works on creating this thing in your life. Anything that goes in the subconscious mind has to be manifest with and through the physical body. And what that shows up as is our results, our circumstances, and our environment. And our environment is made up of people, places, and things. So how do we do this? Well, subconscious mind is also known as the feeling mind or the emotional mind. How would you feel if you had already manifested the desire of your heart? You were living the life that you want. You were earning what you want. You were with that special person. You were creating. You were doing things. How would that feel to you, right? Number one, I would imagine you'd be grateful. Gratitude is big here, because if we can be grateful for the thing before we actually have it, we are consciously expecting it to happen. So regardless of the enthusiasm or the excitement or whatever you might feel, the first feeling that we should feel to impress it on the subconscious mind is gratitude. If you even go back and you study different religions, they'll talk about the importance of gratitude before and with prayer, when they pray. Be grateful for the thing, right? So we have an image of what we want, and then we feel the gratitude for that. We see ourselves every day living in the reality of the manifestation, and we feel grateful for that. Number three, the third step is to exercise our faith by accepting the desire as fulfilled. Accepting the desire as fulfilled. Now, this is where people really do have difficulty. And this is where I think this book and what Halliwell wrote in this book is so very, very important. So prior to the paragraph that I've already read about true desire represents the urge of life, he said this. He said, many failures in manifestations are because we do not force our expectations to keep pace with our desire. Very often, we desire one thing and expect in our hearts another, which creates confusion. The master said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, let's look at what he wrote here. He said, very often we desire one thing and then expect in our hearts another, which creates confusion. Whenever we alter the desire, or we have two polar opposite energies going on, one is for the desire, and the expectation that it won't happen, I doubt it, I'm afraid of it, what will people think of me, I don't think this is real, that creates confusion. So you have two polar opposite energies going on at the same time. It creates confusion in as far as the energy that you're putting out from yourself and what you expect, and it comes back to you as the experience of not being quite right, like something's off, I'm not getting what I want, my results are confused, so to speak. If your image is confused, your results will be confused, period. That image has to be crystal clear, crystal clear. When you turn that image over to your subconscious mind, which basically turns it over to spirit, turns it over to the universe or spirit cannot change a thing. It's totally deductive in nature, which means that whatever you turn over is then what is manifested in your reality as your reality, as your results, as your circumstances, as your environment, the people, the places, the things that show up in your life. This is why Biren said, when your understanding grasps the power to visualize your heart's desire and holds it with your will is your ability to focus, it attracts to you all the things requisite for the fulfillment of that picture by the harmonious vibrations of the law of attraction. you realize in that moment that since order, right, not confusion, but order is heaven's first law, and visualization places things in their natural order, then it must be a heavenly thing to visualize. When I mix my emotion, gratitude, with the visualization of my heart's desire, I'm placing things in their natural order. It's the natural order for the creation aspect to take place, for me to be able to manifest the thing that I want in my life. When I visualize and I mix it with the gratitude of my emotion, I'm placing things in their natural order. Now, what's really important here is that it has to be real to us. It can't be if we're not feeling it. In other words, no mind can be conscious of a need or a desire unless the possibility of its fulfillment already exists. The moment that I'm feeling it, I need to raise my consciousness and my intellect to the understanding, right? Biren talked about understanding, to the understanding that it's real, that it's here right now. I'm feeling it. If I'm feeling it, I'm on an energetic frequency that's in harmony with the thing. I can't be on that if it's not here, if it doesn't exist. I may not see it outside of myself. I probably have no idea how it's going to happen. But sure as shit, it's here. It's absolutely here. All the different things that human beings have created with their hands, think about the billions of things that we've created. It doesn't matter. It doesn't seem how outrageous it could possibly be. It doesn't matter. If we see it, we can create it. And we keep seeing new things, bigger things, greater things, and we create them. If you go back just a couple of hundred years and you were to tell people what life would be like today, they would probably lock you up for being crazy or being a witch or something. I mean, that's real. People had a desire to continue to move forward. It's life expressing itself with and through. Okay, let's go to, let's see, what do we do here? We're on 3, 4. The fourth step is to keep our feeling and thinking moving with our desire. The idea here is to really understand a very fundamental principle that most people never understand. This desire that we have to be, do, have, whatever it is that we want in life, we have to keep it clean of negativity. We have to keep it clean of people's ignorant opinions. It is our job. It's like the torchbearers, right? The people that took knowledge and moved it through humanity from one generation to another. They were the torchbearers. They carried the torch for their lifetime, and at the end of their lifetime, they passed it on to the next generation. And then that generation carried the torch to the next generation. And then that generation carried the torch to the next generation. And with each carrying of the torch brought more enlightenment, more awareness, more knowledge. That desire that you have is like your torch. It is your torch that is your purpose. It is the thing that you're supposed to do. You have to carry it. You have to care for it. You have to keep it clean. You have to keep all outside influences that are negative away from that torch. Your job is to guard your desire, to really guard it, and not let anything corrupt it. Because if there's one thing that we know for sure, we live in a world where people constantly try to kill our desire, to corrupt the dreams and the wishes and the wants of our life. Nobody can do that for you. That's an inside job. You absolutely have to be the person that is going to carry that torch, that is going to keep that flame bright and alive in yourself. And you also have to understand you're going to have to overcome your own negativity. You're going to have to overcome your own failures, your own missteps, your own setbacks, and keep the torch guiding you as the vision for where it is that you're going. The fifth step is to order our conversation aright, to speak always in terms of expectancy and fulfillment, Now, this requires some discipline. I would suggest that, say, for a few days, maybe a week, keep a way to take notes around this and see how many times you use your words to speak something negative or something that you don't want to experience in your life. Let's say I got a flat tire on the way to work. I spend the whole day telling everybody I talk to, yeah, I got a flat tire on the way to work. It was a pain in the ass and I had to have a tow truck and now the rim is bent and blah, 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 right? We all experience negative things. The more we talk about them, the more we recreate those things in our life. How often do you do that? Like most people, it's a huge habit. It's a terrible habit. It becomes a way to relate, a way to express, a way to get attention. And it seems, for some people, it seems ridiculous to talk about anything that's actually really positive. The idea here is that you clean up your own vocabulary. You clean up the way that you speak so that you're only speaking about that which you really want, that which you want to create, and that which is good. And you might say, well, what do I do when something does go bad? I can't, how would I even get help or anything? You're allowed to basically express it once, right? Say what you need to say about what happened, but then let it go and then start speaking about what you desire. Because if you don't, you end up feeling the emotions about what you don't want. You impress that on the subconscious mind and you don't get the thing that you're looking for. Okay, number six. The sixth step is to carry our desire into action, to act as if it were already fulfilled. To act as if it were already fulfilled. So now you're going to hold the emotion of it already being fulfilled. You're going to speak as if it's fulfilled, and you're going to act as if it's fulfilled. What does that mean? It means that the decisions that you make are with the idea that you're fulfilled in the area of what it is that you want. So when I work with businesses, they ask me to explain this sometimes, and it would be like this. If you had a business and you were making sales, you would hold the idea in your mind that you were selling as much as you needed to or whatever it is that you desired. To act as if that's true, you would consistently contact people and have conversations or whatever your sales process was until that literally became a reality in your life. You would do the things on a daily basis from the cause and effect aspect. What would be the cause of what it is that you want to create in your life? And you would do that as if it was fulfilled. You would, if you need help, if you need people to come in and help you with opportunity or do work for you or whatever, you would approach them assuming that they're going to say yes, that the person's going to say yes to you. Always holding the idea of that which you want is going to be fulfilled in your life. And if you practice this, the great thing is in a short period of time, not only will you see tremendously different results in your life, but you're going to program your mind in a way where this becomes absolutely normal, natural, and you literally think this way all the time. And you see how much easier life is, how much things go your way, and when something doesn't go your way, how easy it is to change it. Health, wealth, and happiness, like it will bring you everything that you could possibly want. Okay, practice the six steps, listen to this a few times, pass it on to a friend. See you on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.